Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So far, so in text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has appeared as the Savior of all people, dear fellow redeemed, welcome. Welcome to the 12th day of Christmas. No, I don't have 12 drummers drumming to give to you as a gift. But what I do have is the good news of Epiphany. As most of you know, the word Epiphany means showing forth, to make manifest, to appear. Today is a holiday chosen by the early church. It concludes the Christmas season and leads us to Lent and to Christ's Passion. This season helps us answer the question, who is the Christ child? It also helps keep the Christmas spirit and celebration alive for more than just one day. For during these next 4 weeks of the Epiphany season, which goes to the end of January, our gospel readings, or our sermon texts, will speak of Jesus as the God-man, the Lord and Savior of all people. The early church chose this text, Matthew 2, as the gospel reading for Epiphany. They chose it because in this text we see that God is showing clearly by the appearance of the wise men, Gentiles, to Jesus, that the baby Jesus, the Messiah, was not just there for the Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And that was a new and very thankful truth that was being spread as Christianity went from one Gentile heathen nation to another. You see, up until Christ's time, most people believed that every tribe, every nation, had their own God. And that God only ruled over that nation and didn't care about anybody else. There wasn't a universal belief that there was one God over all the world that cared about everybody and controlled everything. There's all these individual gods. And even some of the Jewish people believed that there was only one God, Jehovah, but he only cared for the Jews and only had saved them. And so the Lord God needed to clearly show to the Jewish people that this baby born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, was the Savior of all nations, not just the Jewish nation. As we heard in our scripture reading already from back in Isaiah in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would appear and shine his light over the nations of the Gentiles as well. Our text this morning from Matthew 2 is probably one that our children know from little on. It's seen in most every nativity scene, although it's historically inaccurate. Our children very often proclaim that same message in many of our Christmas Eve programs. But for our Bible lesson that we know so very well, it's a lot we don't know. A lot of questions that we don't have answers to. For example, when did this take place? How soon after Jesus' birth? Who were these mysterious wise men, these magi? Where'd they come from? How many were there? And also, what about that special star? Well, traditions and legends have tried to answer those questions for us, even given names for these wise men. But tradition and legend very often are misleading. As many of you know, especially my confirmands, the Christmas carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are, is not one of my favorite Christmas carols. It's very misleading. It says that there's three wise men. It says they're kings, and they're from the Orient. We don't know how many there were. The Bible never tells us. May have been three. They weren't kings. They were astronomers, men of science, wise men that served the king. And they were probably from Babylon, not from the Far East, the Orient. We need to be very, very careful in what we say, so it comes from Scripture. So there's a lot of questions that we can't answer concerning this sermon text. But there is one question that the wise men asked that we can definitely answer, and that's our theme this morning. Who is he, or where is he, who's been born King of the Jews? If someone asked you that question, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? How would you answer that question? The wise men had seen the star in the east, and they knew from their study of the Old Testament immediately that that was a special star that revealed that God had sent his son, the Savior of the world, the King of the Jews. Now, how they understood all this, we don't know. We just got to guess. These men were a lot like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were servants of the king. They were men of science and letters, knowledgeable men that served the king. And so maybe it was that Daniel and his three friends had told their compatriots about the Messiah, spread the word, and maybe they told their children and their children's children, on down the generations until the time of Jesus. Or maybe it was Queen Esther that told the story about Numbers and the star coming and the Savior being born. Or maybe it was some unknown Jewish believer living in the area of Babylon. But somehow, these wise men knew the Old Testament scriptures. When they saw the star, they knew it was a fulfillment of Numbers 24, verse 17, which reads, "A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter, a king, shall rise out of Israel." This means a special star will come from the land of Israel, and it will announce that a king, the King of the Jews, has been born. And so when these wise men, these magi, saw that star, they immediately packed up their things and began to travel hundreds of miles toward Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, the star disappeared. So it wasn't the miracle of the star that really answered for them the question, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? The answer came from the simple message of the Bible. For when Herod asked his wise men, the scholars, the scribes, and so forth, where is the Messiah going to be born? They looked up in the Bible, and they said, the Lord has said to the prophet, Micah, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so it was the word that really revealed the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ child, the baby Jesus, to the wise men. And that's our first point this morning. It is still only the word that leads us to him. It is not true that we can find God and our salvation out in nature somewhere. It's not true that we learn all about God by looking within ourselves and our subconsciousness, or by contacting spirits of the past, or by learned philosophers. We find Jesus only in his word. And that is why it is so important for us to continually, throughout this new year and throughout our life, hear and read and study God's word. It was the word that led these wise men there. The word that first told them about the star, told them about the Son of God, the Savior, and then finally told them he was born in Bethlehem. But in answer to the question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We also see, our second point, many in the world still do not know him. It must have been completely shocking and amazing to these wise men that they got to Jerusalem and said, so where's the king born? And no one knew. They didn't care. They were still in the dark. They weren't watching and waiting. Whoever the shepherds told on that Bethlehem night must not have spread the message. No one even knew what was going on. There was no room for Jesus in the inn in Bethlehem when he was born. It appears there was no room in the hearts of these people in Jerusalem either for the baby Jesus. But are things any different today? There are some of you who travel 45 minutes to an hour to come to consistently worship your Lord and Savior. And there are many others who won't even walk across the street or down the block to worship Jesus. In our text, we're not told of anyone who, when they heard the wise men's news, the king is born, we're not told of anyone who went those 7 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem with the wise men to see if this was really true and to see and worship the baby Jesus. The wise men went hundreds of miles instead to Jerusalem, and no one went the 7 miles to Bethlehem. Just like the wise men's day, in our day today, the greatest moment of all time, God becoming human being, God being born in human flesh and blood, the God-man Jesus, the baby being born, is pretty much ignored. For most people today, Christmas, that's over. It's done with. We see from our text that people did get stirred up, though. They were aroused because Herod is aroused. And in their mind, thoughts of bloodshed, thoughts of disaster was coming. For when Herod got upset, blood was shed. If you know anything about Herod, he was a very cruel man. He had killed 3 of his own sons and 1 of his wives because he felt they were plotting against him. So they were stirred up for all the wrong reasons, though. And again, when Herod went and killed all those baby boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, we're not told of anybody that went to Bethlehem to see if the baby Jesus, the Savior, was spared. They didn't care. They didn't know. Or they just simply went back to their own daily routine of life. And so we see today, too, people getting back to their daily routine of life. Christmas trees are being thrown out. Christmas celebrations being taken down. For most people, Christmas, which they celebrated so lustily just 12 days ago, is now shoved aside, set in a corner, put in the attic or the basement, and Jesus is not to be remembered again for another year. The majority of the world still does not know that this baby born in Bethlehem is the God-man, the Lord and Savior, who has come to suffer and die to pay for the sins of the whole world. So where is he who's been born King of the Jews? Well, Herod knew where he was. He found out. He was in Bethlehem. And so he told secretly the wise men, go and find him. And when you find exactly what house he's living in and where exactly he is, come back and tell me, because I too want to worship him. But Herod's desire was not to worship him, but to get rid of this rival king and kill him. And so our third point is, many in this world still would do away with him. So you need to ask, many who came to the manger on Christmas and bowed their knee and worshiped the little baby Jesus in the manger, where are they today? Those who sang so lustily those Christmas carols and who worshiped on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and filled the churches, where are they today? Why aren't they here? Were they still worshiping the Savior? We see that they aren't because they do not want a lord or ruler of their life. We see it in their self-chosen lifestyles. They don't want anyone to tell them what they need to do. They don't want anyone to rule or lord over them. They don't want anyone to tell them how they should live or be subject to any lord and king but themselves. So finally we ask, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And the final answer is, he's found in the hearts of those who still worship him. As we said, the wise men traveled hundreds of miles just for one visit of the Christ child, the baby Jesus. What a sight that must have been that Mary saw. Who were grown adult men, truly godly wise men, who prostrated themselves and worshipped the baby. They glorified him. They honored him. They worshipped him. They praised him with costly gifts. The word of God was for them a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. When they were told by the scribes that it was in Bethlehem, and they left Jerusalem, were told the star again shined, and they were filled with exceeding great joy. Soon they would see with their very own eyes the Savior of the world, the newborn baby, the Son of God. So does the light of the Word that shows Jesus to you and me give us such joy? Such excitement? Such awe? Or to have the same kinds of hearts of worship these wise men had? To prostrate ourselves in front of this baby Jesus, confess our sins, repent of our sins, and seek from him full and free forgiveness. To allow the Word of God to work in our hearts, to strengthen us, and lead us to know that God's grace was wrapped up in this little baby Jesus. To lay before him our gifts of our time, of our treasures, of our talents. To realize that we're just giving to him who gave his all to us. You know, the wise men show us Christian giving at the best. Not just because they gave costly gifts, and they were quite expensive, but because they gave willingly, gladly, and intently. Nothing could stop them. Not time, not distance, not difficulty. They gave because they knew this child would die for them. We also see at the end of our text that they gave obediently. Before they would go back home, God revealed to them in a dream, don't go back to Herod. He wants to hurt the child. And they didn't want to do anything to hurt the baby Jesus. And so they went back another way. That's all the scripture says. But more than likely, that was not an easy thing to do. The main road would go through Jerusalem. They had to go probably many miles out of the way. Less safe miles, roads. Maybe it took them much, much longer to go around Jerusalem and not be seen by Herod or his men. But they didn't look upon that as being a burden, be obedient to the Lord. They didn't want to do anything that would hurt their Savior. So also, may we look upon God's commandments, not as a burden upon us, something that takes all the fun and joy of our lives, but as a blessed opportunity for us to show our love and our thanksgiving, our gratitude for all that Jesus has done for us, and to not want to avoid hurting our Lord by our sins in thought, in word, and action. And that's why we are here this morning, after the holidays over. That's why we're still here today to worship this newborn Jesus after Christmas, to worship him throughout this year and throughout our lifetime. That's also why we earlier this morning did spiritually prostrate ourselves before our Heavenly Father, confessed our sins, and received with great joy the announcement that our sins are forgiven alone through Christ's shed blood. And in a few minutes, we'll also gladly receive the very body and blood of Christ which he shed on the cross, in with and under, the bread and wine, for us to eat and to drink, for the blessed assurance of forgiveness. Yes, there are still many questions whose answers we don't know about this story of the wise men's visit of Jesus. But there is one question, may it be ever answered by us. The question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? May answer that question with this statement of faith. He's found in the Word that leads us to faith in him, so that he will be found in my heart forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.